and welcome to How to Adult with Joy, a podcast about adulting and the different milestones that we might go through to becoming an adult and all the challenges that comes. Thank you for joining, and please remember to subscribe and follow this podcast. Hey everyone, it's your update for this week. I haven't forgotten. It's been a hectic week since last week. I have to say, I've been feeling extremely tired going back to work. Well, I was never off work, but I was on like my late shifts, my clinical lates. I think it just has exhausted me, like the changing of sleep schedule, waking time. And you know, like I really appreciate going back to early morning shifts from last Monday. I really feel like you get more time in the day. When I was doing the afternoon shift from 12 to 9, I really felt like I didn't have much time to do anything else aside from work. Like I didn't get to go to Reformers Pilates, didn't play badminton. It was just hard to do groceries. Like by the time I got home, it was 10 and it was too late to do groceries. So you usually had to do your groceries before work, which is annoying. And yeah, cooking before work is annoying as well. So yeah, like definitely daytime, like shift work. Daytime is probably busier in the sense that you have a lot of discharges. And you go on rounds and yeah, a lot of like chart checking all the patients. But clinical lates is like a different sort of stress, and it's nice to not do that as well. So every time there's like an emergency called over the speaker system, you have to go, you have a pager and it says like where the emergency is, and then you just go. You don't know the patients, you don't know who it is. So when I first started, I was just rocking up and I didn't know. Like every patient has a unique UR number or whatever it's called. And like I was just rocking out and trying to get that number from someone else. And then as I went to more and more emergencies, I realized, oh, I should get the number before I go. So you bring a laptop, and then we have this like electronic journey board kind of thing where it has all the patients' names, room numbers, and UR numbers. Like, so basically people's personal information is like for the public to see. But anyway, so you can actually find the number there. So so you get a page. So we use pages, and you get a page saying like the location of where the met call is, and it'll tell you the bed number. So you just gotta find the bed number and then find their unique number and then type it into the computer. And yeah, so like I really didn't like going to the met calls at the start, because I really didn't know what kind of value a pharmacist can give in an emergency situation. It was as I went to more and more, I realized sometimes, you know, you can be helpful by telling, like, depending on what type of emergency is. It was like, so the most common ones that I saw, I guess, was like low blood pressure, like the patient's just got low blood pressure, or high blood pressure, either one or the other. Or high heart rate. So it may have something to do with medications. You can have a look and see if there's any medications that we could potentially stop. Or if they've got high blood pressure, have a look and see what they're normally on, see if we've changed any doses. You can help, like, you know, short term, like if you need to get the blood pressure down really fast, you can give advice about putting on like a GTN patch, which can lower down the blood pressure quite rapidly. Yeah, with low blood pressure, you can stop things that might be causing the low blood pressure, whether it's, like diuretics or, blood pressure medication, or yeah, you might be able to give advice on lowering it. Honestly, most of the time they just give them water to drink, elevate their legs, and yeah, give them fluids. Not much you can do in those cases. One of the most interesting ones that I went to was a patient who suddenly was like, geez, like, there's something called a Glasgow coma scale. So it's out of 15. Anything less than 15 means there's something, like, they're not like GCS 15, which are not all there. So maybe they're not orientated to time or place, or they're not responding with their pupils, or they're like semi-unconscious. So anyway, this patient had a high-speed motor core vehicle accident, and they suddenly just had a GCS stop, drop. So yeah, in those cases, like, I really can't do much. So I had about two of those. For one of them, I had a look at the medications. She was on heaps of patches for pain, and I don't know if it was for pain or shortness of breath. I wasn't sure, but she was on a huge dose. And in the end, we stopped them, and she was on some other sedatives, like diazepam, and we stopped those. So, yeah, honestly, like, it's just trying to see, you know, what medications can cause what. Oh, there was one case where, like, they really needed the pharmacist. So the patient had been started on topiramate, which it was used to help, I believe, with migraines or some sort of seizure prophylaxis. Anyway, they started the day before, they started having a rash, and then suddenly, like, yeah, it was like they were having a stroke. Well, they were already on the neurology ward anyway, so I wasn't sure, like, why they made it an emergency, because the patient was okay. He probably needed a review by the neurology team, but I don't know, like, unless it was a stroke, I'm not really sure, like, why they called it an emergency. But anyway, they did ask me, like, what are the common side effects of that medication, and, like, can it cause a rash? So it was just, you know, looking up the product information and finding, you know, what's the incidence of rash. Yeah, so in some cases, like, having a pharmacist at those med calls, I guess, is helpful, but a lot of times I just left after a couple of minutes. Yeah, I used to stay for a long period of time, but yeah, I just ended up leaving. So, because I can't chart medications yet anyway. I think as a pharmacist, sometimes they do ask you to chart, but I have not finished my training. So I just say I can't chart. So yeah, that was the exciting thing about being clinical late, I guess. Exciting and also annoying, because every time you're like trying to do admission or trying to do something or counsel a patient, and then an emergency, get called somewhere in the hospital, and you have to go there, and sometimes, like, you're the first person there, and then they're disappointed because you're a pharmacist and you're not a doctor. So yeah, it's kind of exciting, because you never know, like, what kind of patients you will encounter, because they're not your normal patients. You're covering the whole hospital. Yeah, and I really got to know all the walls of the hospital. So yeah, that's what you kind of do as a clinical late. The other thing that there's two pages, so there's two pharmacists on for lates, and the other pager, which I sometimes held, was you're basically covering the whole hospital, and yeah, there might be late discharges or patients wanting to, like, discharge against medical advice, and they need a pharmacist input, so they'll page this number, or they go through the switchboard, and they page me to call them back or whatever. And so, yeah, it was just random stuff, like people wanting scripts. Well, or supply of medication. So yeah, that you just call them. I was gonna say, it was like the pharmacy and dispensary that often contacted me as a clinical late to help get scripts written for certain medications, like the COVID medications. So it was all like trying to, like, it's like kind of being that person, like, to follow up people who stuff that happened throughout the day that people might have forgot to do. I guess it's kind of like a backup. It's a lot different to where I used to work, where, like, after hours there was like a team of like two pharmacists in the dispensary plus a gen med, and yeah, basically, and a few technicians and a student. Basically, they covered the whole hospital, and they went through all the requests, and yeah, they like sorted out through all these. It was very, very stressful. Like, yeah, probably like where I work now, they have a bigger team, but most of us are not in the dispensary. There's only like two or three people in the dispensary, but the thing is, they don't have to look after the request for all the hospital. Yeah, and it's interesting. So it's good, because there will be so many requests. I feel there's like 600 beds. Only if they page do I actually go and like verify and order the medications for them. Obviously, if I saw a patient in ED, I would order the medications for the patient. But yeah, like generally, like the other stuff shouldn't be urgent. Well, I guess that's also what the on-call pharmacist gets called for, like I have been in the past. So yeah, if they needed something urgently, they really should have escalated it earlier, before 9 p.m. before the on-call pharmacist is on. Obviously they don't, so, and they wait until like after hours and they realize it's too late. Yeah, so that's what you get paid for, like just random requests or people needing advice, or yeah, just random things. And then yeah, you just do admissions for Gen Med, and yeah, help out the team in the morning, destroy DDs. Yeah, basically I got to start some of my prescribing training. So yeah, it felt kind of cool. A lot of exercise, walking throughout the ward. It was a bit annoying having to carry the laptop and having it die on you in mid-emergency. So yeah, that kind of sucked. I want, like today, I was just going to talk about today. I have not my patient, but there is a patient on the ward that I normally work at. And she has a service dog. I don't really know why she has a service dog, but today was the first time I talked to her. I don't actually know her name, but I know her dog's name. Anyway, so they're allowed to bring the dog into the hospital. Normally, you don't have dogs in the hospital, but she was allowed to bring her in, and she's so well behaved. I've seen her for a while. And yeah, today I finally got to pat the cutie, and they are like so cute. They don't bark and they're just so well behaved. Such a cutie. Yeah, and the other thing I found out was that the patient is actually deaf, so, but she can lip read. I don't think she's 100% deaf, because when she heard, she could still hear like a beeping sound, so she can lip read, but a little bit deaf. Oh, maybe completely deaf, I don't know. But apparently she taught her dog how to speak with sign language, and I think that's absolutely amazing. It's amazing how smart dogs are and how much they need humans and how much humans need them. There's this like sort of codependent relationship, I guess, between the two. But yeah, that was my highlight of my day, getting the pat to dog. My low light of the day was having like 6 discharges and, you know, poor communication between like the ward and everyone else. Like, I don't even know these patients are going, and then they're already in like in the discharge zone waiting for the ambulance to come. It's like, excuse me, like, can't you tell me before they go like downstairs? Like, it's kind of annoying to get to. So, but anyway, I can't complain. I got to pat the dog. I had lunch, which was interrupted by the page to say that the patient was in the discharge zone. But anyway, I didn't have lunch yesterday, so yesterday I felt was worse. Today at least I got lunch. So yeah, that's my update on like, you know, my general medicine life. I have to say, in general medicine, there are common themes, but it's also like patients come in for very different reasons. And like, I feel like general medicine is the jack of all trades and masters of none. Basically, like, we have a whole bunch of psych patients, a whole bunch of them overdose on medications. They go to ICU. And then they come to us, and then they might go to the inpatient psych unit, or they might just go home. So we got a bunch of those. We got an anorexic patient. We got a few anorexic patients. What else do we have? We had a guy with like very fast heart rate, and a few of those pacemaker insertions. Get a lot of falls, patients having falls. We usually send them home pretty quick. People with chest infections, patients with COVID. A lot of dying patients lately. I feel like there's a trend for a lot of patients that are about to die. They come into hospital. And yeah, I've got into this groove where like I'm like a half pal care, half psych. And yeah, I've just been doing scripts for midazolam, morphine, and haloperidol. I feel like I need to like screenshot it because I have to do them every day. So yeah, basically half patients are dying, half patients are waiting for rehab, some of them waiting to transfer to the subacute rehab wards, and yeah, other ones are just new and they just get discharged straight away. So it's a never-ending cycle of six patients in, six patients out every day, and just random transfers, but or awaiting transfer to another hospital or whatever. But yeah, that's gen med. Very interesting. You get to go, you know, I feel like I'm always looking up stuff up, so yeah, it is very interesting. But it's also very tiring because it's a lot of new patients every day. And yeah, that's where I work now, so hopefully in the next episode I'll be able to talk about my trip to Japan. Feels like so long ago. It was like in March and now it's May. I really want to look forward to my next trip, wherever that may be. Anyway, I'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode of How to Adult with Joy. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star review. Thank you.